And up next on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, it's the Thursday Valentine's Day, February 14th edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Next 2 hours will be coming your way. If you want, stay with us, and you'll discover what you'll find.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So, welcome to another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. It's going to be some long interviews and less music than usual. I'll try to throw a little bit in. I'm under the weather, hopped up and hepped up on antibiotics and steroids and trying to overcome a cold, who knows what. In any case, bear with me. I'm going to try to pass on some of the usual things that have happened in the last few days, actually. There is an agenda item on my agenda coming up tonight, which I won't be going to, but I want to point other people toward. It's the Santa Cruz County Poor People's Campaign at Town Hall in Live Oak, Thursday, February 14th, from 6 to 8 p.m. That's, I'm looking at the flyer. Contact person is Drew Glover, Drew at rcnv.org, if you want to reach him for more information. But really, since it's happening right now, 6 to 8, going out there if you're interested, 1740 17th Avenue, Santa Cruz. I'm not a big fan in the past of Drew's events, I got to be honest with you. The Pollinate, Project Pollinate, it all seemed to me pretty fluffy and puffy and new age without having any real grit and concern about basic civil rights locally. But Drew has been showing through his on-council and off-council work in the last 2 months, he has a real interest and a real determination to present issues to the community that I certainly share a concern with and support for. And I've talked about some of these issues in past shows. Most of them have to do with civil rights of and services for folks outside. And also changing procedures at city council so that the community actually has more of a say, and the entrenched staff and the conservative minority on city council now, well, is it a minority or majority? But anyway, the conservative faction on city council doesn't have a final say on everything, which we all have to sort of wedge ourselves into. I'm going to be going into, let me reiterate that if you want to go on out to this town hall at Live Oak, 1740 17th Avenue, braving what may be a rainy weather to do that. I'm not sure if it's raining now since this show is pre-recorded in advance. But there's going to be at least, I believe, one speaker from HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, Alicia Cool, who's also involved with RV rights, the rights of people who are vehicle dwellers. And she's also very much concerned with the survival of folks out at Ross Camp, which city council has not clearly voted it's a good question. Has it voted to dump the Ross Camp by beginning notices of eviction yesterday on the 13th, as seemed to be provided by the city council resolution that was passed, with three against, Crone, Glover, and Brown, and one, and four in favor, including Cummins, who joined the Matthews majority in this situation. So well, I'll read the resolution. Actually, it's a rather long resolution, which mixed the kind of the resolution that the three progressive council members voted to include, but it also is intermingled with the so-called response to homelessness, the update and direction of the city manager, which involved essentially implementing a county and city of Santa Cruz joint action plan for emergency provision and encampment management, which included things like alternate shelter options through concentrated outreach and navigation to begin yesterday, February 13th, then in collaboration with the county, and that I think was a big selling point for Cummins, the swing vote here, who voted for all this stuff, which I regard as really very stale old piss in new wine bottles. In collaboration with the county, implementation of various shelters, temporary shelter options, which have long been mentioned and have always been held to be inadequate by those of us watching them, and often simply weren't even addressed as written. The new Laurel Street Salvation Army program, which is for women and children, and it was the last winter, it was part of the winter shelter program, but they, under apparently community pressure or some community complaints, they didn't do it this winter. Then there's the 1220 River Street program, which is cramming 60 people into cheek-by-jowl tents on a gravel, or pallets, I'm not sure if they're doing it pallets or gravel, in the River Street Barbed Wire Boneyard Campground. The utterly inadequate and never expanded Association of Faith Communities 20-person program, which has been going year-round. It isn't going to be an extension of any kind. It's just going to be a continuation of the same people who are there. The initiation of a small-scale safe parking program where they have no specific place they're going to go to and no assurance they can go there, where they've already been vetoed out in Live Oak because the county supervisors ran and the city ran with them when the an anti-homeless online campaign attacked the program. And I'm going to be, I hopefully be playing something around that issue that came out at the Coalition on Homelessness's meeting run by Brent Adams last Monday. I guess John, I don't know his last name, John Schumacher, do I have it right? I probably don't, John. My apologies. He works with the Association of Faith Communities and gave a discussion of their perspective on this upcoming city council series of resolutions, which happened the next day. There was also a supposedly an expansion of a warming center program, although no funding. The funding was going to go to the storage program. I think actually there's a small amount of county and city funding going there, under $25,000, and continuation of the 7th Avenue shelter program in Live Oak, the small winter shelter program. I guess it's 60 or 70, maybe or so people out on which you have to get, you know, go online to get onto it, be at a bus stop at a certain time, get up at 5 or 6 in the morning and leave. Can't leave your property there, although maybe there's been a change in that. Anyway, I mean, I don't need to, I have already criticized it and talked about it in past programs. But the point is, there's nothing new here. There's nothing really expanded. There's, and what they really, this whole point of this is, number C here, and that's what you're going to hear be discussed probably this Sunday when I play more of the city council's actual debate and discussion and people's commentary on it. In collaboration with the County of Santa Cruz, provide 30-day closure and shelter transition notice. I love this transition to the street is what they're talking about. To the residents of the Gateway Plaza encampment on February 13th with a planned full abatement by March 15th, 2019. Planned full abatement. That means it'll be bulldozed in a month. Now, the question is, did they mean did this language exactly reach in the final provision? Well, the only change that I remember that was made, as well as the addition of most of the, if not all of the Drew Glover proposals that would be not voted on at the last council meeting, but discussed for possible vote and staff action at the next one, which would be, might well be another 2-week delay after this upcoming 2-week delay, after previous to this last council meeting, there was a 2-week delay in even bringing this proposal forward because Martine Watkins did not put it on the city council agenda in the last council meeting in January. And she, of course, refused to put the Glover program onto the agenda for this current city council meeting, this one that happened 2 days ago, even though three council members supplied all the requisite staff reports, did so in the appropriate time frame and so forth, as I've said before on this program. I have to keep repeating it because it shows to me abusive behavior by the mayor and essentially a conspiracy to shut down the progressives and to thwart the will of the community. But they can only do so, of course, with the fourth vote. That is, say, the conservative or the reactionary majority that wants to continue old business as usual with the vote of Justin Cummins. Or should I say Cummings? Sorry, Justin. I'll get your name right one of these days. And they have. They've been getting it. And that's been happening sufficiently. And Glover has been standing up sufficiently himself to continue to propose in spite of being ignored, denounced, and overridden by the mayor and the others on the council who are on the conservative side, not to mention the city manager and the city attorney, although they aren't on the council, of course. They don't vote. They simply kind of provide a nice structure in which they, progressive proposals can be strangled. And the real issue is whether these people will be fired by four council members, as can be the case. And unfortunately, it's becoming really clear that Justin Cummins is not that man to do it. I don't even know if Sandy Brown or Chris Crone would be the ones to move to fire the city manager. I think Glover might, but not others. Unfortunately, it has to be pitchforks and torches, I think. Or it has to be real community anger and sentiment and demand that might force that. Right now, community sentiment and demand is the issue for some of us, is the issue of this C proposal, this shutdown of the Ross camp. They call it the Gateway Plaza encampment, which I don't know what's happening out there now. I haven't gotten a lot of reports, or actually very little in the way of reports. Power's been off where I live for half a day, the last day here on Thursday, for the half of the last night, and I've been working on this show and am not in the best of health, so I'm not running out there to see what's going on. I'm hoping to get some information. And if anybody has reports from Ross, please call into the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-4833, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and let me know. Give me a phone contact so we can stay in touch with how things are going out there. Are city officials walking around poking their faces in your tent? Are you getting the pallets that we actually, a number of us at Conscience in Action, because the city may not be doing anything at all and the county may not be doing anything at all to deal with this ongoing storm that's flooding the campground and deal with issues such as laundry and water and I guess there were a variety of these issues that came up at the last meeting, overcrowding that's happening. There's not too much that the few private individuals who gathered at the Conscience in Action meeting yesterday can do, but some of them were going to seek out pallets from private people so that their people could lift their camps, their tents up onto less waterlogged sections, tarps, so that, they could be secured against the wind and rain, fresh water. And there has been some assistance given by the county, and I think also by city agencies, too, regarding trash pickups, trash can distributions. I think there's one Sharps container that they have there. There used to be several, I believe. They had put in a disabled porta-potty of the, I think, 4 to 6, maybe. I think it's 6 that they have there now. But the real threat here is that they are simply the city authorities and the county authorities are concerned with simply removing this eyesore, as some described it at the city council meeting on Tuesday, regardless of its impact on the people living there. Although that's not what they say. They have to have all this fluffy, puffy stuff that surrounds the get the fuck out resolution with, oh, well, there we have this shelter and that shelter, and there's maybe a safe parking zone, and we're hoping to have a navigation center down the road as well. Anyway, the issue for some of us at this Conscience in Action and Huff meetings was to garner support for campers who are going to be facing criminalization on the streets and no shelter, no place where they can legally set up a shelter. One proposal was made today was that people move into a parking garage, at least against the rain and the cold and the wind, until such time as there is alternate shelter available. That would be for both people who are at Ross, who can't, for which it's become too overcrowded, or people who are uninterested, unable, unwilling to go to Ross for numerous reasons. Ross has a lot of drug activity out there. I haven't heard a lot of claims that it's unsafe. I know it's appeared threatening to people coming by who are used to middle-class standards, and it can be shocking to see people shooting up, for sure. But does this mean it's unsafe for most people who live there? That's not been my experience when I've talked to them, and I'm going to play some of the interviews with them on the show. So one proposal is, I guess people to exploring the possibility of setting up campsites Saturday and Sunday in the parking garages because, you know, it's out of sight, so it's not as unsightly from the freeway, and it's out of the rain and wind, so it's less likely to be blown away or produce a cholera epidemic. It's not used at night, so there's not a lot of vehicle traffic in there, at least during the night, although some sections of it, people may want to stay in during the day simply because, practically speaking, would you rather see someone with a tent on downtown on Pacific Avenue or maybe tucked away in a garage shelter somewhere? That there are plenty of empty buildings, of course, where people could be going, but hey, we don't, those are property values, folks. Let's not even think about that. I mean, come on. We have to, you know, I mean, we're speculating on those buildings, selling them, holding them for sale, and that's always the way business has been done, regardless of the human suffering around it. That's kind of how it goes in Santa Cruz and elsewhere too. So Santa Cruz doesn't want to, you know, be particularly cruel, but then again, we don't really want to be particularly kind either. Anyway, I don't have really the breath and the energy and, frankly, the good health to be able to do a lot of discussion of this today, so I'm going to be playing interviews mostly that I've done recently, and hopefully this will provide some, if not information, some entertainment, hopefully both. And again, I'm hoping to come back on Sunday with better health and more information and more tolerance for doing the kind of detailed analysis that needs to be done. I will try to do a few things, and that's going to largely involve probably just commentary on what is being said in some of these interviews, and other interviews will simply be the interviews themselves, so be forewarned. Here's a little music to ponder all that by. Sing it loud! And that was Black Lives Matter, No Justice, No Peace, Atomic K Records and Productions. You can check out the video on YouTube, as usual. So on Sunday night, I meandered out to the Ross Camp, which you now can't really get to so easily. Well, I guess you can if you cross the bridge, and, or if you have somebody opening a gate for you from the Gateway Plaza. If you cross the pedestrian bridge across the San Lorenzo River from Felker Street, you can get there. Or if you go to the kind of the River Street side, there's a hole in the fence, two holes and two fences, which people apparently negotiate in and out of, unlike the River Street Boneyard Campground, where you can't get in or out unless you do it on the apportioned schedule times and determined by our wise overlords or their wise overlords. At least that was the case between March and October of last year. Anyway, here's me wandering around chattering with people. And then subsequently, Alicia Cool and her family brought hamburgers and talked with folks. And I distributed flyers encouraging people to come to the city council meeting on Tuesday, the day after that followed, on February 12th, to support their campground, which was under threat of being dispersed. And then, of course, they did pass the dispersal resolution with, as I say, an unclear language which might allow them to stop it on February 26th if someone wants to halt the speeding train that is claiming everything's okay, we got all kinds of shelter everywhere, folks, let's just step right up and get out of the campground, you'll find all kinds of good things somewhere else, that sort of thing, which Justin Cummings has brought into so far. Anyway, here's me at the campground, or thereabouts. So it's February 10th, 2019, out here at the Ross Camp. About 6:10. Darkness is falling, pretty much almost fallen. Really, it seems like even...
How's it going?
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Slide into the mud.
Run into the man I was looking for. I was walking around shouting, Greg, Greg.
And one guy. Did you find another Greg?
There was another Greg, yeah.
And was he bitter that anyway.
No.
It's a different Greg. Yeah, okay.
Here you are.
We'll see, we have this.
It looks like, maybe it's at night, but it looks like there's a lot more tents than there was a week ago.
Yeah. Well, there's more structure to the tents. Things have become more, look at this. That's not a tent. We now have edifices.
The man I'm talking to is Greg, who's come to various Huff meetings, who has a tent out there himself, who was originally tenting on the beach with a number of people before being driven away by Parks and Rec Rangers to the Depot Park and then driven here to the Ross Camp, if I understand his narrative a few months ago, if I'm remembering it accurately. Alicia Cool, in her tent count of 2 weeks ago, counted 198 tents. If there are more than that, and the tents have somewhere between one and five people each, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of people in this campground. I don't know if that could well be an overestimate, but it's certainly a huge number of people. Here's Greg and I chattering on.
I mean, canvas edifices.
On platforms?
Yeah. No, that's not mine. Mine is actually a tent. And I was going to modify it, but it's withstood like 7 mph winds face on, and it just would shake almost to the ground and then bop back. And it's like once
flexible.
Something's... But it's just perfect.
So this is how many folks live here?
I have no idea.
Looking at the thing, it's about, what, 15 or 20 feet long?
And by folks, you mean humans?
I do.
Well, because there's dogs, but also some... So, here, why don't you come down and see
No, it's all
rotating
right.
Rotating up.
I was walking, but, okay. I was actually looking for you.
Okay. So, just a moment ago, probably 3-4 minutes ago, did you see the junior high girl doing the photography project?
I saw two women talking to a couple of guys.
And taking pictures? With the Polaroid?
No, but I didn't. It's dark, so okay. They might have been doing that. And
yep.
Didn't see much of it.
Right. Well,
even.
Yeah. So they were.
All right.
And the reason I'm bringing this up, it wasn't just the fact that I was asked to, be a subject for pictures for a homeless project, but it's the fact that the sociology aspect that she was interested.
Gotcha.
But then it became like who's willing to be had their picture taken. And so all my friends started to say, they'd say yes. But then I was like, I said, well, we're not normal. Because I said, the second you said this, it's not about. And like, look at this. This is like a human. This is also a human.
This is not a human. This is a man and
a human.
Are you a human, sir?
This is human. This is Lando.
Believe so.
By the way, he's recording for
free radio, Santa Cruz.
For free radio right now.
Right on.
And also, we're not going to mention
him. How long have you been in the camp?
Oh, come on.
I've been here since day one.
Which would be how long?
God only knows how long has it been? Day one?
What? Day one?
Here at camp?
For you?
For us.
Dude, this is like waiting for Godot.
No, seriously. How long has it been since we've been here behind Ross?
By Beckett. Beckett's waiting. Wait, was it
how long would you... No, no one remembers, but anyway.
Waiting for Godot. Anyway, no, but people should know.
Hang on. You'll follow this.
Wait.
So how's the camp... How's the camp changed in the last few weeks? Any change that you want to point out?
Oh, yeah, it's gotten a lot slicker. It's gotten a lot slicker.
Tell them what got broken last night, though. Tell them what got broken.
You tell me.
His cello. Oh, this will get interesting.
It looks like there's a lot more congestion. It looks like there's a lot more congestion here at the River Street end of the campground. I see. I also see a double row of tent structures, as you put it, along the campground here.
There's heavier duty tarps that have been
donated
often. Uh-huh. We now have like 7 layers of tarps because people have donated quite.
7 well. Layers on any particular tent?
Or? Sometimes. Yeah, except you don't always need them. Because mine...
You're pointing to your tent.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Which is a white-colored tent.
And I am pointing.
Are like you pointing to a white color? Is that a white...
A friend of mine that says never point.
He does. Is that a white-colored tent that we're talking about there?
On top of it.
Yeah.
And
so
this guy points?
He does. Again, I'm trying to identify the tent. That's one the one right there,
but
right?
That's how you know where mine is.
Right there?
Yep. Behind the Christmas tree and the pointing person.
I gotcha.
And there's the giant 8-foot teddy bear. He's only probably about 7 feet tall.
Good point.
Now
there's a teddy bear across the way next to a trash can.
Yeah, well,
a figure of a pointing.
Some hot dogs over there if you want some and some other.
Cool.
Hey
Eric.
Right there.
And Eric has arrived with the hamburgers. Yeah. And you, Sarah, has arrived as well. Hey, Sarah. Welcome to Ross Camp. So said the non-Ross Camp guy.
Oh, it was with Alicia.
Hey.
I know.
Make them.
I remember.
It's not a video. Make a sound into the. Please.
Sound?
Yep. It's recording for.
I'm with Free Radio. In case you want to say anything for Free Radio.
Oh, fine. Thank you.
All right. No problem.
You just already said something.
And soon after I went out of the Ross Camp back into the parking lot in the Gateway Shopping Center area closest to River Street, where there were several vehicles, including one of them from Alicia, who was providing burgers with her family, Eric and her three kids, for folks at the Ross Camp who were coming out. And we had numerous small conversations here. Chairs, and the path really narrows near the hole in the fence at the River Street end of the campground, which is where... the burgers are reportedly being distributed on the other side of the fence. You go through two holes and two different fences in order to gain access to the campground. And outside the campground, in the parking lot, is Burger Town, or a bunch of folks providing burgers.
Mary.
And Mary, you find this place important?
Yeah, this place is invaluable, because, I mean, I don't need much in this world, but, like, a safe place to go at night, a place where they can't tell us to leave, and a place to keep my stuff is really, really, really important.
And where were you before this?
Just everywhere, kind of nomadic.
How long in the Santa Cruz area?
About 2 years.
And do you find this better than other places you've been?
Yes.
Last year, San Lorenzo campground?
Yes, this is better.
And how is this an improvement?
Because we kind of police ourselves, right? It's not like having the Rangers tell us, you know, up and active, get up and active. Like, that's almost inhumane. We're adults, and we're not in rehab or jail. There's no reason that we should have to be told to wake up in the morning, you know?
And how are internal camp politics going? Are people taking, you know, I hear there's a lot of theft from people back and forth, or is that not true?
No, there's theft, but we police ourselves. For the most part, people that do that are weeded out and they're stopped by the group.
She has nothing worth stealing, Mary never.
No, does. I have nothing worth stealing anyway.
No, she would give it away anyway. She's a.
Yeah, but, you know.
How long have you been here?
Since it started.
And when was that?
Almost like 6 months. No, 3 or 4 months. It's been a while.
So you were here when there were very few tents.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's now in a situation where there are lots of tents.
Yes.
I know.
Are people beginning to spread out from the camp to other camps?
Not that I know of.
And do you think you're going to be at City Council on Tuesday night at 6:15? We're throwing a meal at City Council, and then we're inviting people to come in and stop the council city manager from closing the camp.
Absolutely, I'll be there.
You bring 50 people with you is my suggestion.
I'll try.
I'll give you a bunch of flyers.
Thank you.
Here's more.
Yeah, because I think this is really important. So people have a tendency to listen to me. So.
Oh, that'll be good. Let me give you my card too, in case you want to give me a call. I do this show twice a week on a pirate streaming radio station.
Okay.
This is Huff number.
Okay.
I'm Robert.
Thank you.
And we've been talking with
Mary.
Anything you want to add, Mary?
Nothing. I think this is a great compromise, and everybody here has the potential to be much better than we are. And having been given this little bit of freedom and allowance, like, everybody's so grateful for it, we'd love to have it continue.
Come on down, 6:15, Tuesday, day after tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Kevin Jones.
Kevin, how long have you been here?
I've been here, let's see, probably a good, almost a month, I believe.
And how long have you been a Santa Cruzan?
My whole life. I'm born and raised.
And what is your sense of the value of this camp compared to other places you've been here in Santa Cruz?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, I mean, camping is interesting anyhow, and it's never going to be exactly totally comfortable. But for the most part, I think it's a good thing. And, you know, it's like, I'm glad they're letting us do this because it affords us the opportunity to get a little reprieve during the winter, something like that, you know.
Before this, what kind of a camp were you in?
Well, I've been camping my whole life since I was like 8 years old out here in the
public. Alone or in a company?
No, generally, I have a family. Yes, please. No, see, I had a camp with my family. Generally, my father's homeless as well. Mm-hmm. And so I usually camp around other people but by myself. Every once in a while, I'll take a break and pull off by myself because sometimes that's necessary or whatever. Yeah.
Dig it. Any experiences you've had here that stand out in your mind you want to talk
about? The Occupy. That was a good one.
The Occupy 2011.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, that's kind of what this reminds me of, only on, because I would normally just camp out in the woods, but since my people are here, I'm here.
What do people need at this campground right now?
Right now? I think what we need is like one big giant tarp or something, you know, big tarps right now, so that everybody can be dry at one time instead of a bunch of, I mean, it's okay to have your individual, but to have a big shelter above everything else, maybe.
A place where people can meet and
No, relax. I mean the whole thing, so we can stay dry.
Large mega tent.
Yeah, pretty much. That would be cool.
Yeah,
wouldn't be a bit much, but it would be cool. Because that way everybody could get up under that one thing, you know. And the only problem would be is they wouldn't be able to see what we were doing. So that might be an issue.
And it also wouldn't be as private as individual tents. But
no,
still.
We would still have an individual tent underneath the tarp.
I see. Okay?
So everybody could still be them, but they would have a dry them.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with
Kevin Jones.
Anything else, Kevin?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I've been out here my whole life, and it's not like it's the best or whatever, but what happens, we're all getting along for the most part, regardless of what happens.
Not a lot of theft?
No, for the most part, I don't believe so. No. No.
Have you lost anything yourself?
No. No, not recently. I mean, I probably lost something, but I don't believe. Yes, please. Thank you. But I don't believe I've had anything stolen. And if I did, it's because I left it out or something, you know. Yeah.
Take it, man.
I might need to look free.
And again, we've been talking with you.
Kevin Jones.
Thanks, Kevin. On both sides of this, what's your first name?
Shane.
And tell me about what's it like on this side compared to the other side?
It's a lot more judgmental. I feel like I'm looked down on. I feel like I'm not part of the town, really. I feel like an outcast.
And how is this? When did you most recently experience this? How did it come to you, let's say, in the last couple of days?
It happens every day. Every time I walk into a store with a backpack on, or just the same clothes I wore yesterday.
And so today you walked into somewhere in the gateway or some other place?
Well, I went to the mall today, and I, you know, had security following around most of the day.
No. That means they like you, right?
Yeah, they must mean that, right?
They want, they want to get your advice on subjects, Prince.
Yeah, well, then they should ask.
Yeah, they should. How long have you been in Santa Cruz yourself?
30 years.
And how does this compare with the other you've been outside before.
Yeah, I have been.
And how does this compare with them, this campground situation?
They're all different.
Well, I mean, we're starting to become more of a community, which is good. It brings us all together. We all help each other out. That's a good thing. Before, when we don't have something like this, we're scattered around and fending for ourselves type of thing. And then you guys have been a real big impact in helping us all.
Oh, she is. She does all the work around here. She cooks the food. I just give out literature, you know. So.
Well, it's good literature.
I think so. I mean, come to City Council, 6:15 Tuesday. There'll be food and there'll be a bunch of idiots who are trying to close the camp.
Yeah, I mean, I met some good people down here that I probably wouldn't have met otherwise.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Were you in San Lorenzo last year, the campground?
I wasn't homeless last year. I've only been homeless about a year. And I would come visit with some friends every now and then. I had friends down there, but I didn't live down there. But I lived down here this year.
And how do you think the two campgrounds compare?
I feel like it's a lot more calm here and more unifying than the other one. Especially since, I guess, last year they kicked everyone out 2 days a week. And that was kind of hard for everybody to have to move around. Here we're going to at least have a space we can call home, so to speak. So that's nice. It's a comforting feeling.
Thank you. What does this campground need to help it out and to help the people here?
Better irrigation. But, I mean, I don't know. It'd be nice if we all had actual houses in here and some showers and stuff, but...
Showers? What are you, luxury? How can you say such a
thing? I mean, we don't forget about that stuff just because you're out here. But at the same time, I don't feel like the community's helping us out a lot. We get a lot of people that pass by. Maybe not by the freeway. That would help. Cause a lot of people pass by and honk and yell at us and remind us of...
Get the fuck out of town?
Pretty much, yeah. And that's, you know, that doesn't help the situation, but it also brings us all together and makes us realize we're all one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
No, just keep up the good work. Thank you.
We've been talking with?
Shane.
Hey, Shane. Adding to this, Shane, you're saying that there's a mix of those who've come voluntarily and those who were told by rangers and police to come?
Exactly, yeah.
How many people would you say, what's the mix, 50-50? Is more one group than the other?
It might be, it's probably, yeah, 50-50, 60-40, the people choosing.
And how many people would you say you've talked to that you could actually give have a sense that that's happened to one way or the other?
More than a handful, for sure.
Okay. And you've been here for how long?
God, I lost track of time. Probably 3 or 4 months, at least.
Has it changed much?
Yeah, it keeps getting better, I feel like. People are...
Even though it's bigger and muddier.
Yeah. I mean, it feels more like home, I guess, in a way.
Really? Interesting.
In a weird way. I mean, we definitely don't want to settle here, and we want more, but...
Are there any subsidiary camps forming outside the campground?
Not that I really know of. I mean, I know of a couple places where people are nice and hidden and have stayed there and maybe invited a few people to come. And people either love it or hate it here, honestly. I mean, it's just how it goes. People despise it and say don't go, or people are telling people to go. And you just got to do it, I guess, whatever makes you feel most comfortable. I don't know. But I'll take lots of
things that you've been. And again, we've been talking with...
My name's Shane.
Thank you, Shane. Say that again.
This can be used as a stepping stone if you use it the right way and to get a job and get yourself in a better position for life, because you have a solid place to stay where you know you're not going to be harassed, basically.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going to ask who we've been talking to, because I know who we've been talking to. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, no problem, man.
So I'm hoping there'll be more voices from Ross in the shows ahead. And I'm hoping to get out there when I'm up to it, and maybe get other people out there who are already up to it, and some who are in the midst of it. At Tuesday at City Council, we held a protest at 6:15, a gathering, a speak-out, to demand that the council restore the Glover-Crone recommendations to the agenda, which would allow for a safe parking area, shelter emergency declaration, ordinance examination to see which ordinances are anti-homeless, a whole variety of things. Those are three of the six that come to mind. Oh, an immediate safe parking places along Delaware Street for RVs and vehicle dwellers, as well as a permit parking procedure. I'm sorry, not a permit parking, a procedure for permitting transitional campgrounds. That was the word, but I think they meant, as I said before earlier in this broadcast, campgrounds run by private individuals who want to operate independently of staff constrictions, but who want to do so in a safe, practical, and appealing manner. And that you might be as rule heavy as Brent Adams' sanctuary campground model, which would be drug-free, and, you know, fenced and security patrolled and all that sort of thing, or less so. Who knows? But it would allow a much less onerous permitting process. It wouldn't necessarily give nearby communities the ability to veto this based upon their fears, prejudice, and bigotry, or just their privileged preferences, given the emergency that we have currently happening in Santa Cruz.